Hello and welcome to the Red Phone Zone. This is going to be issue number 61, and once again, it's a very special edition. It's a special episode. This time we are going to be doing our newest member of the Indomitable Order of the Zone of Ruthoz. And I am Aaron, and with me, as always, is who?
I am Ethan.
Neat. Who else do we got, Ethan?
We've got one of the Johns, one of our Johns on.
We have lots of Johns.
And it is the John instead of the other John.
It's been lots of Marys, kid.
Yes.
Say hello, John.
Thanks for having me back on, guys.
Yep, thank you for coming back on. Well, you're not saving our ass this time because we actually planned this.
Yes.
So, yeah. But, yeah, this is a weekly podcast where we talk about all kinds of gaggles of geeky goodness. But we're not doing that this week. This week, we're doing what we like to call our Red Phone Zone Hall of Fame. It's basically where we make up a list of people. This time around, our nominees were... I'm going to do this one off the top of my head because I'm just that good. There was Morgan Freeman, Gary Oldman, Sigourney Weaver, and Ian McKellen. Or Sir Ian McKellen if you're a Brit. But, yeah, so... those people are up on our site right now. The poll is still up on our site, as far as I know, isn't it, Ethan?
Yep. So, it is still up. It is still taking votes.
So, yeah, if you this does happen to be streaming on computers that aren't ours for some reason, you can still vote right now.
I'm tweeting and Facebooking it as we speak.
So, yeah, we need to get some more votes in, because last time we checked, we had some votes. We're right around the same area where we were last time. We want a blowout this time. We want... lots of votes, and we want to see a winner. But before we name them off, what we're going to do is we're bringing you a special top six. This is when we're going to be doing a top six list of our favorite of the Ruthoz nominees and winners, going down to who our favorite people in this list are. But before we do any of that, we have a little segment we like to call Geekly Happenings. It's when we talk about news that's relevant to us geeks. Ethan, do you have any news that you find relevant?
I do.
Neat.
As soon as I finish Facebooking this
lovely
thing right here. And it was Ian McKellen, Sigourney Weaver, Gary Oldman, and Morgan Freeman, right?
Yeah, that's who it is.
Hey.
Yay.
That's the only news that really matters.
Yeah.
I just voted.
You voted.
You voted.
I should do that.
There. We are tweeted and all that good stuff. I do have a few things. I jumped online and sort of gathered up a little bit of news. The big news, I guess, really quote unquote big news, is it's sort of not a good year for or not a good time to be a gunslinger of sorts.
No.
The Dark Tower and the Lone Ranger both had their productions halted by their various studios.
Mm-hmm.
It's been let's see, Dark Tower and Lone Ranger are not moving forward at their prospective studios. Hollywood Reporter and New York Post explain, though, that the movies could still be made to bring them to the screen. Ron Howard's immediate concern for the Dark Tower is finding alternative funding for the especially epically scaled adaptation, and part of the plan involves moving forward with the television side of the project no matter what.
Yeah.
Because of Howard's new commitments, though, the project will certainly meet with some delay, because I believe he's got another movie already lined up to do right now.
Right.
And on the Lone Ranger front, which is supposed to be directed by Gore Verbinski, he's working on driving down the $250 million budget on the movie. Though westerns are traditionally one of the less expensive genres, Ranger script apparently originally said to feature supernatural elements in the form of Native American werewolves, as well as, quote, the biggest train sequence in film history. According to this report, the werewolves, at least, appear to have now been removed from the current plans for the project. The
werewolves are cool, though.
The article notes that it's entirely possible that Walt Disney Pictures could replace Verbinski altogether and start from scratch.
I wonder if Depp would stay on at that point.
I don't know. There's still some question whether or not Depp would remain attached or not. I previously worked with Verbinski on Pirates movies and Rango.
Yeah.
So,
you know, I heard about that Lone Ranger movie, and you know what my first thought was the Dick Tracy movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know why I thought that?
I like the Dick Tracy movie.
I did too, but nobody knew who the hell he was. And
yeah.
I didn't know who the hell he was, but I saw it, and I liked it. And it just seems to me like, you know, it's a hell of a gamble to spend that kind of money on that.
You know, I think even the youngest kids still know who... I think kids do still know who the Lone Ranger is, because he's such a...
Tangentially, maybe.
Yeah, they might not know exactly who he is, but they know of him type of thing. Because he really ingrained himself in culture.
Yeah,
you know, way back when, so...
To me, it seems like a... It seems like a ballsy thing to make
especially a
movie.
Especially a $250 million movie on his kind of...
What studio is that?
That was Disney, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Huh. I was going to say, maybe they were all like, yeah, they looked at the Green Lantern and said, shit, maybe we shouldn't do that.
Maybe we shouldn't do a $200 million movie.
Yeah, that, like that. Not everyone's going to go see. And Gunslinger, I could see, if it's done right, I could see that just being really cool. I mean, I could see that, like... being as good as The Lord of the Rings or something like that.
It might be a cool movie. I couldn't get through the book myself, so...
The book?
Yeah.
There's lots of books.
The first one, The Gunslinger.
Oh, wow.
I couldn't get through that book, so...
I read them. I liked them. They're fine, but...
For me, it might make a better TV series, might make a better movie type of thing. I don't know. And I know... I don't know if he was ever officially attached, but it was Javier Bardem was going
to
be...
Yeah, he was going to do it, but, you know, the money had to show up first, and that's when it ran into trouble.
Yeah.
So... you know, there's another movie franchise that ran into a little bit of trouble. I saw the news yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
The Crow reboot.
Yes.
It looks like...
It's been in tons of trouble. Oh. I mean, it's being sued, the rights are in question, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
So.
But, and, like, it lost its star, though. I mean, it lost Bradley Cooper, which...
Yeah. I saw something about that, and that he's possibly being replaced with Channing Tatum or Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, I saw that. Names.
Yeah. Fascinating.
John, do you want to see a Crow reboot?
Not really, and not with any of those actors.
Me neither.
Yeah, because I really don't see the Crow as this big, you know, action movie type of big explosions thing. It just doesn't work
in 3D.
In 3D.
I mean, what more could you do from what the original delivered? You know? It just seems like it would just be okay, it's just a little bit different. Because that's what the sequels were.
Yeah.
Just a little different.
And they sucked.
Exactly.
And I think this one's going to turn into another one that isn't very good. I mean, you know, we could be completely wrong. It could rock. Comic book was really cool. And I liked the movie. I liked the movie a lot. And, you know, to me, I think it was done well. And I also think it was done recently enough to where I don't think it needs a reboot. But
yeah.
You know, who knows? But, well, you know, if they made it closer to what the comic book was, and, you know, it was completely shot differently. It isn't this weird supernatural thriller.
I'd still like to see a definitive good DVD or Blu-ray release of it.
Yeah, they put out a DVD that was okay.
Yeah, its extra features weren't that great. It didn't have didn't have deleted scenes, anything.
No,
like
but
that.
It had a good,
just kind of
had made. A nice transfer.
Yeah, but. And it's an old one, though.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see a newer, better version of that. So, I mean, the only reason I would say, hey, let's get this Crow movie out there would maybe be to see that happen. But
Even there aren't any deleted scenes because they had to use those in the movie.
There's whole segments like the Skeleton Cowboy was going to be in the movie, that sort of thing.
Was it filmed?
As far as I know, yeah.
Huh. I didn't know that.
So, I mean, it'd just be an interesting story to tell. But, you know, it's one of those movies that's really asking for one of those good 2-hour Jaws-like documentaries about it.
Yeah.
It's just like, ooh.
The Crow is still working.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Exactly.
Do you know what Bradley Cooper left the project for?
No, I don't.
He left it for I don't remember the director, but there is going to be a big screen adaptation of none other than John Milton's Paradise Lost. It is going to be a 3D action-adventure movie.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
And Bradley Cooper is in the starring role of Satan.
Nice. Good for him.
And I just read Paradise Lost a week ago. And,
how did they turn that into an action movie?
Yeah. I mean, it could be done, but, I mean, fuck.
Whenever he walks the earth, he's jumping through plate glass and firing guns?
I mean, I guess. I mean, I hope it's not going to be modern day, but.
Oh, yeah.
But, I don't see what. I mean, there's some cool shit in it. It's a neat book, but it was hard to get through, and I didn't read and say, man, I need a movie with this starring Bradley Cooper. And,
yeah.
I mean, it's. It could be done well. I mean, don't get me wrong, but I hear that the action adventure 3D starring Bradley Cooper, and I think, you know, 300 or something like that.
Sure.
And no, not for Paradise Lost.
Yeah.
But have you read Paradise Lost, John?
I have not. No.
No, it's not exactly the first thing I would think that needs to be turned into an action movie. I mean,
no.
It'd be like turning.
Is it public domain though? I mean, it's
all. I would think so.
Was it written? Was it 1800s for that one?
Might have been even before that. Why don't you talk about something else and I'll look it up?
All right. Well, let's see. I just got some brief bits here. One, they released a picture of Dwayne Johnson as Roadblock in G.I. Joe 2, but they also announced that Walton Goggins has joined the cast as an original role. Walton Goggins, the only reason I'm mentioning this is because I think Walton Goggins is actually really good. If you watch The Shield.
Walton Goggins.
Yeah, Walton Goggins. You recognize him immediately when you see him, but he was in...
1667.
Well, there you go. Hey, that's way public domain. Yes.
Yeah.
Walton Goggins was in The Shield. He's also in that Justified show. He was also in Predators.
He was in Predators. I saw that.
Yes. He was the convict.
Oh. Huh.
Yeah, and he's also in Cowboys and Aliens, but
yeah,
he's really good in The Shield. But so he's joined it, so it'd be interesting to see. He plays a good jackass douchebag, so you know, we'll see.
So we're gonna have a jackass douchebag in the G.I. Joe sequel.
Yes.
Cool.
What Maybe do you that's think? His code name is Douchebag.
Roadblock and Douchebag.
Roadblock. Douchebag.
Roadhouse. Are you gonna go see this, John?
Well, I had amazing disdain for the first one.
I know. I'm baiting you. I know that.
Yeah, I'll probably see it for our podcast.
Mm.
Why don't just you just, so John can hunker down in his seat and have a pouty face. And
why don't you just pull a Paul and not go? I mean, I think it's well enough established that you despise every ounce of the idea of this movie.
But, I'm actually hoping this one's going to be better.
Well, it does have the guy that directed Justin Bieber directing it.
Oh, geez.
Yes, the...
Justin... not Justin
Never Say
Lin.
Never.
Yeah,
no, John Chu.
John Chu, Justin Lin,
yes.
John Chu, Jesus. Yeah, it's
I
like,
always get him. But speaking of Justin Lin...
Now what's he directing?
He's actually not directing Highlander. He pulled out of directing. He's still going to be executive producing, and he has 12 minutes of Fast 6 prepared already.
Fast Sex?
Fast 6.
The sixth
Fast and Furious movie that seems to be making $4 bazillion every minute.
Huh. I'm not surprised. Those movies make fucking money.
Apparently it's because his career sort of is taking off, and he's attached to possibly direct the Terminator movie.
And
he
everything.
Just doesn't have time to do Highlander. So he's only going to executive produce. Oh, well, darn. Sad face.
Imagine that. They're going to fuck up another Highlander movie.
I know. How do they? This time they're going to fuck it up in a reboot this time.
They're going to fuck it up in 3D.
I know.
But now, John is actually, you're a big fan of Highlander 2, right?
I like Highlander 2, yes.
It's funny to watch, though. I
actually enjoy watching it, kind of. I mean,
you can watch it at least sort of.
You can just say, what the fuck? And
it is one of those.
It's like, you know, Highlander 3 or something. That one, you're just like, oh, this is stupid. But the second one just goes to such ridiculous lengths where you're like, what the fuck? I need a drinking game or something.
Yes,
but
it's one of those that's like, I want to know how this came about. Like, who was snorting coke off the back of a Thai prostitute to get this movie made?
Because
it's all trumped by how horrible and bad Highlander the Source was. So,
Highlander the Source is way worse than Highlander 2.
I would much rather watch Highlander 2, either version, than Highlander
the
Source.
I'd watch them
again.
Both a bathtub full of glass shards instead of watching Highlander the Source.
I would jump on you in the bathtub full of glass shards rather than watch the Source again.
It was so bad, John. Don't see it if you can avoid it.
I tried not to see any more after, I think, the fourth one.
But Endgame?
Yeah.
Endgame was all right, you know? It just happened to be a TV show that was in a theater.
Yes.
You know?
It just happened to be two episodes of the TV series edited together.
Yeah, I mean...
And you paid $8 or $9 to see it.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like, really?
It was out on DVD like 5 weeks later. It was awesome.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Wow.
He dies at the end of it and totally negates 2, which is my favorite of them. So, of course, I stopped watching after that.
Of course.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Speaking of remakes, obviously there's the Evil Dead remake that's going on.
Yeah.
But apparently, it's not really a full-blown remake with, you know, like Ash, because Ash is not going to be in it.
That's good.
It's going to be more focusing on a group of friends that go out to the cabin and fight Deadites type of thing, and Bruce Campbell will make a cameo at the end of the film.
Yeah, walk in and accidentally kill him.
Yeah, it's like, idiots.
Yeah.
So
it's going to be
but it's going to be a bunch of friends, like, and it's not going to be like a full blown remake of, you know, here's Ash and here's, you know, his sister and all that.
That's kind of cool.
I got nothing really.
I mean, it's just going to be like the Book of the Dead fucking over some people that aren't Ash for a change, I guess.
Pretty much, and then Ash gets to come in at the end and go, fucking morons.
I hope he is Ash in the movie. Is he going to be?
It doesn't say. It just says he will make a cameo.
I hope
at the
he's
end,
old
so.
Ash. I want to see old Ash.
I think
Ash.
So, too. I think old Ash would be funny.
I do, too. I mean.
And Mike Myers has signed on to officially do Austin Powers 4.
See, that's a movie series I don't get. Because I thought the first one was hilarious. It was so fucking funny because it was a fish out of water story.
Yeah.
Because you take this guy that was the shit in the 60s, and you move him into, what was it, 99 or whenever that movie came out?
And
he wasn't
99.
And he wasn't fucking cool anymore. And then the sequels, they go back to when he was cool again, but he wasn't fucking cool.
Yeah.
And it just. And I actually just watched the opening scene from the Goldmember again today. Because I like the opening scene. That's funny with Tom Cruise and Kevin Spacey.
Spielberg bit always made me laugh.
Yeah. Now, my friend here thinks it's fine holding up his Oscar, but I don't get it. You know, they're making another
How long has it been since Goldmember?
Well, it's been a while. I mean, at least 5 years.
Probably more than that, I'd say.
And if I were a producer, fuck yeah, I would bankroll it. I just don't understand why people keep going.
Yeah.
I didn't think they're funny at all after the first one.
See, I can at least enjoy the second one. It was entertaining, but the third one I just didn't think was very good at all.
No.
Apparently, according to the article from what I remember, the last time that he mentioned it is they were working on a script for Austin Powers 4, and it was going to focus more on Dr. Evil than Austin Powers.
Cool.
So. All right, you know, hey, I like to see Seth Green get some work, so...
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of good actors getting work, Scott Glenn is going to be in
like
The
Scott
Bourne
Glenn.
Legacy.
Is he?
Yes.
Cool.
Don't know as what, but he will be in it. Which joins Jeremy Renner, is starring in it. So,
yeah.
And, I like Jeremy Renner. He's
sure.
Our guy. The only trailer that came out this week, this last week, I'm an idiot, was a new trailer for The Immortals.
I watched that today, and yeah, I mean, it's just more of the same. What about the Harold and Kumar trailer, though? That came out.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Yeah, that was fucking awesome. The Harold and Kumar Do Christmas, I think it's called.
Hey, if Neil Patrick Harris is in it, I'm there.
He's in it, and he's got a song and dance number,
nice.
And he's back from the dead because he died in the second one. And,
nice.
You know, it looks, I'm sorry, it looks pretty funny. I mean,
the first one was entertaining.
And it's in 3D,
but
it looks like they're making fun of it.
Nice.
So,
good.
Yeah. What? I heard something from you over there, John. What were you doing?
I don't know. I agree with the move. They're always funny.
Yeah.
And in this one, they explain why in the movies he's a coonhound and why in real life he's gay and how it's just a cover-up.
Yeah.
So you can get more girls.
But there was also the Coriolanus trailer, the remake of Shakespeare's story with fucking Ralph Fiennes starring and directing. You didn't see that?
No.
That looks pretty sweet, I thought.
I haven't seen it at all.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of trailers. I mean, nothing that blew my skirt up. I'll definitely see Harold and Kumar. I don't know if I'll make it to the theater, but I will definitely watch it.
Cool. Well, the last thing I got is not a trailer, but I figure we should at least mention it because of Aaron. It's we possibly saw the Batwing.
We did see the Batwing. Well, I mean, we saw something that looked like a Rubik's Cube kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Batwingy
yes.
kind of thing.
And it looked kind of like it had an Apache, like an Apache helicopter
mm-hmm.
Cockpit. So yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. That was
so,
something else.
Hey, you know.
Yeah, hey, we got the Batwing, kind of.
Okay then.
I'm really gonna be curious how they're explaining that shit away.
Mm-hmm.
How the hell Bruce Wayne can fly it? But, you know, hey, he's fucking Batman. I mean,
he uses the power of being Batman.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a plus 12 to being Batman or something, I guess. But, yeah.
No, I think Batman just intimidates things to work.
Yeah, maybe.
Things just work for him because they don't want to piss him off.
Mm-hmm. Did you see that picture, John?
I haven't. There's some stuff I've been looking at, but I've been trying to go a little bit like media blackout for this movie because I really like going in and just being surprised with the movies.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way, but I did see that picture because it was just up on a site I went to, and I didn't like watch. There's videos of it, and there's close-ups and angles and whatnot, and obviously it's going to be whatever it is. It's going to be, you know, finished with CG.
Yeah,
whatever's going on there, but. But for the most part, I'm trying to avoid major spoilers pretty much moving forward on the movie. Like, I'm not going to, like, oh my God, and shield my eyes if I see a headline or something, but I'm not going to, you know, dig too deeply into headlines or anything like that.
Yeah, but other than that, I got nothing. I mean,
there hasn't been a whole lot.
Not a huge amount of news out this week.
Now, have you noticed anything that we've missed, John?
No, not really. You guys kind of covered it.
Yeah, there hasn't been a whole hell of a lot. There was something, and I don't know if I remember what it is. Oh, the Gerard Depardieu pissing in the flight, the airplane. did you hear about that?
No, but that's funny.
Yeah, he's crazy. But he was on an airplane, this is hardly the kind of news to go out on, but he was on an airplane, and he tried to go to the bathroom, and they told him no, and so he's like, fuck you, and he went up to the cockpit and pissed all over it, I guess. That crazy bastard.
Well, I think that counts as terrorism.
Yeah.
Send him to Guantanamo Bay.
How is the, John, John, how is the movie bracket thingy going?
It's doing well. We haven't had a show in 2 weeks, so I haven't gotten any updates. But I think you're still winning, Aaron.
I didn't know I was ever winning.
Yeah, you've been winning, I think, for almost the whole thing.
Oh, shit. Neat.
Like, you and Paul were kind of neck and neck for a while, and I think one of you pulled out 1 week, and then the other guy jumped ahead.
Huh. Neat. Is that over soon?
Yeah, end of August. I think we still have this weekend. There's a couple movies coming out in the last weekend of August.
I think we still need Fright Night to come out.
Fright Night and Spy Kids 4.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay.
Which, is it Spy Kids 4 anymore, or did they retitle it?
It's something. Spy Kids something, the something of something. In 4D, because they give you those cards that you can scratch and sniff when you watch the movie. But, okay, cool. I guess I will I'll keep an eye out for that.
In Smell-O-Vision. Next show, we're doing it in 4D.
with
Smell-O-Vision.
I don't
or
think...
Or Smell-Audio.
Smell-Audio, huh?
Yes.
Well, I guess that's going to wrap up Geekly Happening. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with our discussion about the Zone of Ruthoz.
Stop loving you.
put an updated one. Feel it in your
side. Everything you say, baby.
Okay, at the end, let's see. On July 31st, I had 9 points, Paul had 7, Ethan had 6, Chris had 5, you had 3. And then on August 14th, it all comes down to this week, and if Aaron picks up one more point, he will win the competition. There's no help left for John to catch to take the top spot from the Bag to Board crew. If Fright Night doesn't have a good showing, it means beer will be on him for an up-and-coming episode. Get your tilt ready. What's this one more point shit? Do you have to get so many points to win?
I don't know. There's all rules. I didn't show up to the show.
Sometimes.
Yeah, it was kind of convoluted last I looked. So.
Yeah. But yeah, I know that... I don't even remember what I had.
I have 6 points. That's right.
See, I knew that...
I don't even know what that means, that I've got 6 points.
Yeah. My thing about it is, like, you know, I knew that Ethan was going to be... Well, I knew that he was going to fuck himself in the beginning because he put too much emphasis on kids' movies, but I also knew that he was going to pull ahead like he did. And... Because just looking at it, let's see. My shit, we still have to go. Harry Potter versus Cowboy and Aliens, duh. I picked Cowboy. Or
I don't even know how Cowboys and Aliens is doing.
It's doing okay-ish. But I think that I might be fucked here. Because I did put it over Spy Kids 4. That might not have been smart. And then I put Fright Night over Rise of the Apes. And Rise of the Apes did a lot better than I expected it to. So.
Let's see.
And then,
Rise of the Apes is sitting at 112 million.
Yeah, but what was the opening weekend?
Its opening weekend was...
Let's see, is this updated?
54 million.
Okay, let's see. And I need to get to Paul. He's the last one. See, he took Spy Kids over Cowboys and Aliens.
Although that 54 million might be the...
It had a decent opening weekend. It barely fucking beat Smurfs. I mean, barely.
Let me just look at the weekend.
It was over Smurfs. It was the number one for the weekend. I know that. And so I took Cowboys and Aliens over Spy Kids 4. I don't know how smart that was. And then I took Fright Night over Rise of the... Or rather, I took Rise of the Apes over Fright Night. And actually, I feel pretty good about that.
Let's see.
What?
Yeah, 54 million first weekend.
Did you say
so? Planet of the Apes did really well. Rise of the Apes.
Yeah. It
kind of blows my mind because the movie looks like crap to me.
Everyone says it's great, but fuck that. I'm not going to go see it.
Yeah,
I'd rent it, I guess, but I'm not going to go to the theater.
Now, Cowboys and Aliens only barely beat up the Smurfs.
I know. It was like fucking neck and neck. It took like an analyst to get it.
Wow.
Barely. But, and so, what did it do? It was like 60-something?
Cowboys and Aliens?
Yeah.
36 million.
Oh, 36 million? Oh, fuck. Spy Kids is going to destroy that.
You know what? But it's been such a shitty, all the kids' movies have done, like, almost the worst.
Well, Cars 2 sucked, so that was part of it.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Did it suck?
Cars 2 was fucking terrible. And, you know, and you put Winnie the Pooh against fucking Harry Potter... I mean, of course it's going to get crushed, but Winnie the Pooh did very...
Well, I'm looking at the summer movies, and the...
The number one is Harry Potter, the number two is Hangover.
The movie that stayed number one for the longest is Transformers 3.
I know. Transformers 3 made a fuckload of money.
I know.
And I took it over Captain America, and I took Harry Potter over it, so I'm safe there.
Yeah. Oh, well, Harry Potter's over a billion already. I mean,
Is?
Yeah.
It is? Is that...
Worldwide, yeah.
Really?
Last I saw.
What's that like?
$1.2 billion.
What's that overall? That's got to be in the top 10.
I'm sure it is.
God damn. Yeah, that'd be like...
As of right now...
That'd be like 3 or 4.
Domestic's 359 million. Foreign is 857 million. So it's $1.2 billion. It's the highest grossing movie this year. I'm just glad it beat out Pirates.
You're glad it beat Pirates? Oh, fuck. I wasn't... I wasn't worried about that. I was worried about Hangover.
Pirates was over a billion already.
Yeah, but Hangover was beating Pirates. Hangover was making a shitload of money. Yeah, dude, Harry Potter is the number three movie of all time right now.
Nice.
God damn, I didn't know that.
Hangover Part 2 worldwide is sitting at 580 million.
Mm-hmm.
That's nowhere near beating Pirates 4.
What? Really?
Oh, yeah. Pirates 4 is $1,038,000,000.
When the hell did that happen?
It's fucked, dude.
It's right there. And look, number 5 is Transformers, Dark of the Moon.
Yeah.
I've seen that movie, that movie, that movie, that movie. Haven't seen that, seen that, seen that, seen that. Saw that. Wow, when did the fucking Dark Knight move to number 10? Dune that used to be number 3.
The there you go.
Damn. Yeah, I'm going to go get my water and we can do this.
So yeah, interesting. Interesting the reason time. For feeling this pain.
I'll be better by morning if I'm walking upright. I'm standing alone in the rain. I've heard there are bad dreams from the people that know all the manifestations of blue. But I'm not even sleeping. My reactions are slow to the changes I'm wandering through. Blues be good. Blues be good. Blues be good to me. Go on and leave me alone. Blow up your saxophone. 'Cause these blues don't belong. I've heard it from Ella. I've heard it from Miles. This feeling is something to try. Put the stain on my finger. I'll try to do it with style. Remember to cover my eyes. Blues be good.
your saxophone. Cause these blues, they don't belong to me. These blues don't belong to me. These blues don't belong. These blues don't belong to me.
And we are back. This time around, this is not a regular show. What we are doing is we are discussing the Indomitable Order of the Zone of Ruthoz, and tonight we are going to add another member to its prestigious, I don't know, halls.
Alumnus. We're adding another to the alumni.
And it's going to be pretty awesome. Our nominees tonight are Morgan Freeman, Gary Oldman, Sigourney Weaver, and Sir Ian McKellen. So at the end of the night, one of those will have a fucking added to their name.
Yep.
But before we do any of that, what we've decided to do is we just made up top six lists of our favorite members of the Zone of Ruthoz. We did this because every time we do this, we pretty much have the same song and dance where we just talk about what Ruthoz is, and you know, it gets kind of redundant, and I'm sure you don't want to hear it, and I know we don't want to do it again. So we're just going to make stuff interesting and talk about who our favorite members of the Zone of Ruthoz are. Do you have anything you want to say about Ruthoz before we get started, Ethan?
I think Ruthoz is pretty fun, actually.
I do too.
It's one of the fun aspects of this show that we do that some of my friends sort of get in like, oh, yeah, I'll vote for that. And sometimes they're like, I can't vote for that. I just can't do it. I can't choose. I know a few friends of mine are like, no. Especially last time they looked at it, it was like, I can't choose over any of those people, so I'm done. Bye.
This is the hardest one we've ever had, as far as I'm concerned.
We've had a couple good runs with some real good ones.
Yeah, we have. Well, I mean, there's a lot.
Like where Ruthoz is now, where it's come to. So
I do too.
Nice.
And the thing about it is, I actually want to work on it some more between now and the next time. I want to get it more hammered down, and I don't want to, you know, it's not like I'm not saying like I want to get rules and shit, like more rules, and maybe I'll get Paul to work on that or something like that.
Oh yes, but then we'll just have to ask Paul. Okay, Paul. Who's in the Zone of Ruthoz now?
Yeah. No, I'm not going to do that, but I don't know. I just want to maybe find out a way to make it roll off the tongue a little bit easier, maybe come up with an abbreviation, maybe come up with a crest or I don't know. But all that's going to be coming. But yeah, I like Ruthoz. I think it's fun, and it sucks picking, but you know, this is one of those things to where, like, it's still cool because, you know, they do get to get nominated again, and... Mm-hmm. You know, as far as I'm concerned, it's all in good fun.
Yeah.
That's what I think about it. Do you have any opinions of Ruthoz, John, at all?
I love doing it with you guys. I like, you know, I've four of them now I've done?
I think so.
Yeah, sounds right.
Yeah, I think so. Because you've won two of them.
Stop asking me, you know. I enjoy coming on and doing them because it is fun. It's fun talking about these great guys that, you know, I think almost every time I've done it, we've all been like, oh, that's such a great pick.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Except for like that guy that none of us heard of.
Yeah.
like, who's that?
Yes.
Yeah. That
William Gibson.
There you go. That was comical, though. I mean, if nothing else, it was funny.
I think I was the only one who knew who the hell he was.
Because I was all like, who the hell is that? And like, we didn't even like...
We were like, and vetoed. Anyway.
Yeah. That's just fun about, because these guys always kick ass, and there's nobody that's ever been nominated that I didn't think deserved it. And actually, I'm going to get into it with my discussion about like the way I feel about some of the people who's won and things like that. But
sure.
I think it's fun, and this is like one of like, you know, this is actually like one of the oldest things on Red Phone Zone. It's like I keep saying we've been talking about it
predates Red Phone Zone
by a fucking decade.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just something that I think it's fun. I think it's an awful lot of good fun. And,
oh, yeah.
But why don't we just get cracking down on our list, Ethan? This is a, I think of this as a top six light, because there's not a whole lot of thought.
Not a whole lot of discussion or thought.
Yeah, we'll just kind of crank it out, say some cool shit, and go from there.
My number six, then, is Sir Ian McKellen, one of the nominees this time around. He's not even my nominee, and... Really, you know, part of what I like about Ruth Oz is it sort of takes an actor who, an actor or really a creator performer who, sort of embodies that what it's cool to be sort of, like this sort of geekiness and this, I know, because we don't specifically talk all the time about, oh, it's geek, the geek culture or whatnot.
Yeah.
It's that, but you know, actors who generally churn out good stuff.
Yeah.
And this is the guy who is Magneto and Gandalf. And, you know, that just says something about how fun it is to really see this guy work.
And you say that, and you're right. He is, you know, everybody knows him as Magneto and Gandalf.
Right.
But, like, almost all of my favorite roles aren't those.
Yeah. I mean, like, he still does fantastic work elsewhere.
Like, fucking At Pupil. Like,
The thing I love him is Gods and Monsters.
Gods and Monsters is amazing. Such a good movie.
And we're total geeks about film and whatnot. And, you know, we get to see these great actors do their great thing. And Ian McKellen certainly is one of those, I think, great actors doing great things.
He's always fun to watch.
And, the thing I like about Ian McKellen in general, though, is just his attitude towards not only just fans, but his craft and his work.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just sort of, you know, I'm just going to do this because it's fun and it's what I want to do. And it really comes off. He really comes off as that on screen. And that's what I like. So, I mean, obviously he's also Gandalf and Magneto. So,
yeah,
really.
I mean, and don't get me wrong. He was great in those movies. But I like his more serious work. And there's
some guys out there, some actors out there that I'm like, hey, these guys are really cool. And then later on, you know, you learn, oh, Ian McKellen's gay. And for me, living in Kansas and whatnot, you know, people might expect, oh, hey, you guys are backwater Kansans and whatnot. You might hate that, but I think that's cool.
Yeah, I say lick that boner, Ian McKellen. I mean, I don't care.
I learned that stuff, and I know it's a very strange thing. I sort of take the Henry Rollins approach going, that is so cool.
Yeah.
Good for you, man. So, I know it's a strange reaction, but I get that. Like, I learned John Barrowman's the same way. I was like, really? Fuck, that's cool,
I think that was my exact reaction. I didn't know John Barrowman was gay, and you told me. I'm like, that's fucking awesome.
I know. It's like, good for him. Awesome. Yeah. And yeah, same thing for Ian McKellen. All those people that bitched about, oh, we don't want a gay Gandalf, we don't want a gay Magneto, can just fuck off and die, quite frankly.
It's not like Gandalf is going to be sucking Frodo's dick.
No, it's like we're talking awesome actor here. It's called acting.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Ian McKellen, he's my number six.
I think that'd be a more interesting movie if Gandalf sucked Frodo's dick.
It would be.
Yeah, not as much walking.
Keep it secret, keep it safe.
Is he anywhere in your top two? God damn, Ethan. Oh my god.
I couldn't resist that one.
Wow. John, is Ian McKellen anywhere in your top ten? Keys are on the black thing.
Number four.
He's on your number four? I mean, did we pretty much hit it all, or do you have more to add to it?
The one role you guys left out is when he was on Extras, the Ricky Gervais show. He's absolutely hysterical.
Yeah, I had forgotten it's been so long. I really remember Patrick Stewart from that series.
Oh, yeah.
He was fucking funny, but...
Is he gay?
Patrick Stewart? No, not as far as I know.
Huh.
If he is, he's kept it secret.
Well, kept it secret real. Wow, don't do that, Ethan.
Okay.
Cool, so who is your number six, John?
My number six is going to be Bruce Campbell, the number two, second person inducted into the thing. I love Bruce Campbell, and I love the Evil Dead, I love even the Jack of All Trades, Bruce Campbell Jr., like, he's just got that great kind of hand to him. And even now on Burn Notice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Bruce is my number three.
He's my number three as well. Did you see that picture I put on Facebook the other day?
Nice.
Yeah, it was...
I love it.
It's a picture, I don't know if you saw it, John, but it's a picture of Bruce Campbell standing in front of the presidential podium. It was one of those Photoshop contests on crack.com. It was if people got what they deserved, and as Bruce Campbell is fucking president. I thought that was great.
Yeah, I see that.
I love Bruce Campbell. And he's, you know, and I love Bruce Campbell. I've read his fucking book, and I love his movies. And I've read both of his books. But, you know, he's probably, and I hate saying it, probably one of the weakest actors on this list. Well,
oh, yeah.
But, you know, he's another one that
he just loves what he does.
Yeah.
And it really comes off. And I think part of it is how they sort of embrace their fans and embrace the following that they get. And I mean, God, this guy's got probably one of the biggest followings on the list of the nominees of everything.
Yeah.
And you know, it's reading his book is one of the fun things to do. So he talks about, you know, there's a, you know, lady wanting me to sign her boob, and right behind him is a kid dressed up as Briscoe County Jr. And it's like, this is cool.
Yeah. Have you read his autobiography, John?
If Chins Could Kill?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I have, years ago, like right when it came out.
Uh-huh. It's a
fun read.
It's a real fun read. I also read Make Love the Bruce Campbell Style or Bruce Campbell Way.
Yes.
That was a fun book to read also, because it's just all, it was pure fucking Bruce Campbell chaos, and it was an awful lot of fun to read. And yeah, I picked him as my number three because he's like one of those, there's a lot of these people that I've come into, at least like respect them a whole lot, like lately, but I've loved Bruce Campbell for fucking ever. I mean,
And he's one of the first, I'll admit, he's done some shit movies.
Oh yeah.
And some shit roles, but I mean, meh, he doesn't care. He's like, whatever.
He's like, he'll be, the, you know, you said you'll be one of the first to admit that. He would be the first to admit that.
Yeah, exactly.
Chris has brought out his autographed copy of If Chins Could Kill.
Can I have it?
I have a signed copy of that.
I don't have a signed copy of it. I
remember driving 5 hours by myself to St. Louis to get his autograph.
I've never had the opportunity to meet him, but I would love to, and I love Bruce Campbell. That's why he's my number three, and apparently that's why he's your number six, right, John?
Yes.
Cool. All right, I guess we're going to be moving on to my number six. My number six is he was actually one of the ones that I chose. He was one of my nominees, and I was very pleased to see him win. It's none other than Liam fucking Neeson. I love Liam Neeson. I think, and you know, I said that Bruce Campbell is like probably one of the weakest ones on this list. I think that Liam Neeson is probably one of the best actors on. That's actually a member of Ruth Oz.
I'd say he's probably one of the best actors. Probably one of the most underrated actors.
Oh,
on this
fuck
list.
Yeah! And the thing about him is, you know, you say all the time that, you know, you can tell a person, you know, loves to work, and Liam Neeson loves to work because he does. Oh, yeah. And he's another one that does some shit movies.
He's my number nine on my list.
I love Liam Neeson, and you know, I like the geek roles he's done. You know, I liked him in fucking Star Wars. I loved him in Batman.
And he's one of those actors that's been in a ton of shit too. And to the point where, you know, now he's doing his own movies. He stars in some of his own movies he does, and they're, you know, relatively low budget. Decent action flicks, and really, it was one of those things where I didn't realize I was such a big fan of his until Taken came out, and I saw a trailer for it. Was like, I could see Liam Neeson kicking someone's ass for 2 hours. I'm there.
The movie that made me just like love Liam Neeson, like that, you know, because I knew I liked him for shit like, you know, I don't know, Rob Roy and Star Wars and Schindler's List, but the movie made me love Liam Neeson was Love Actually.
That's one I haven't seen.
I love his role in that movie. I mean, it's, you know, because, you know, he's always playing the badass or the fighter or the downtrodden or the, you know, he was a widower, and he had a young son that was actually his stepson that he inherited after his wife died, and it was just it was a heartwarming role, and it was a nice light role, but he was. And it was funny. He was funny, and it showed me that this guy kicked so much ass. And I love his career, and I do also see. And I'm going to see fucking Battleship because of him.
Yeah,
you know, like that preposterous looking
movie.
I
would totally not see that, and if but for him, it's like, oh well, shit.
Yeah,
I want to see that just because he's in it.
Yeah,
fuck.
Now is he on your list anywhere, John?
Which really is the sort of
it's the pedigree.
The pedigree of. The Ruth Oz list is like, oh, he's in it. Oh, I kind of want to see it now. Type of thing for any of these guys. So
yeah, I mean, and that's just it. Is because I've seen some bad fucking movies because of some of these people on the list.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I don't hold it against any of them.
I sat through and watched Moontrap. I know this.
Yeah, I saw Moontrap. Now, does he fall anywhere on your list, John?
He would probably be like my number seven.
Yeah, cool. I do. Once again, I love fucking love.
Liam Neeson. That's why he's my number six. What's your number five, Ethan?
My number five is actually one of the ones you came up with that I remember coming into one of the nominations lists and going, I got a good one. And then you pulled out Stan Lee.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck you.
That was
God damn it. That's a good one.
That was like my casting Clint Eastwood kind of moment where, yeah. where I deflated everything around me. And yeah, Stan Lee's the shit. Did not pick him for anywhere in my top 10, but I love Stan Lee.
And Stan Lee's one of those guys that you just go, I love Stan. I don't know him, but you love him anyway.
And I'll take that back. I think that Stan Lee might be the weakest actor on this list.
Oh, yeah.
But the dude's so much fun. I mean, I love everything. First off, you know, you got to give him props for all the comic books and whatnot that he's written. Yeah. But I like his I love his public persona. And I didn't drop him off of my... I mean, I know people have dropped him off their Twitter because he tweets too much. I think it's fucking funny.
Well, he only tweets like once a day, and it's like 12 tweets in a row, and then he's done. So it's like,
yeah.
It's not like Kevin Smith, who tweets 12 tweets every 3 seconds.
Yeah, and him I dropped, and I love Kevin Smith, but, you know... But I don't know. There's just something about the idea of Stan Lee that puts a smile on my face.
Yeah.
It was just, you know, he's got so much passion. He loves what he does. You know, I mean, some of these people, you know, it's a job. But, you know, Stan Lee absolutely loves what he does for a living. And it shows. It shows in the quality of his work and the legions of fans. And he's one of those people that's just, I love Stan Lee. I mean, he's a fantastic person. I love what he does in his career, and I think he's going to be one of those people that's going to be really sad to see go, because he is the second eldest member of the Zone of Ruth Oz. I believe he's 88 years old right now.
Yeah, I think he's just under, just behind.
Christopher Lee is 89 years old, and Stan Lee will turn 88 years old in December or whatever. He's just below. I actually figured this out one time. Did you pick him anywhere, John?
Stan Lee?
Yeah.
No, I didn't. Stanley is fantastic, and I got to see him last year speak, and he just livens up a whole room. Like, we were in the back of a giant auditorium, and he just has great personality. But Stanley is great.
Yeah, I mean, just talk about a passionate dude. I mean, I think that's the thing I like about him the most.
He's a guy I would really, really like to meet on the list. Just you know, I mean, there's some people on this, like, I could go without meeting some of the people, most of the people on this list, I would really honestly say, but he's one I would just really like to meet, just shake his hand, and to say hi to him.
Like,
you know?
I saw...
Because he seems very genuine.
Morgan Freeman on the street, I'd be like, holy fuck, that's Morgan Freeman. I'm terrified. I'm not going to go talk to him. Mm-hmm. If I saw Stan Lee, I'd walk across the street. I'm like, Stan Lee, how are you?
And you'd be hard-pressed not to give him a hug.
And,
you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'd
love... Like, Stan!
What up, dude? It feels like I know him. But,
exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool, but yeah, so it's your number five, huh?
Yep, he's my number five.
John, who's your number five?
My number five is going to be John Goodman. Because when Chris named him last time, it was so hard for me to decide between everyone who was picked last time, and I love John Goodman.
I do too.
I'm a huge Coen Brothers fan, so whenever I go to see a movie, I usually expect to see him in it. And he's just got a great likability to him. And he, you know, he picks different roles. You know, he's been the Babe to Walter Sobchak. You know, he's beat them all.
Yeah. Yeah, and, he's got an incredible warmth to him. You're right about that.
And no matter what he does, he always brings it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Always a great actor. Even when he was the coach in Nerds, Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah, that's one of those ones that puts a smile on my face thinking about that movie, because I liked him in that a lot. I'm looking forward to seeing him in Red State, Kevin Smith's new movie. I mean, that's getting mixed reviews at best, but, you know, I'm still looking forward to seeing, because I like Kevin Smith and I love John Goodman.
Sure.
I'm looking forward to being able to see Tremé.
Yeah.
The HBO series that he did.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but good things about that show.
Yeah.
Cool. So I guess that brings me on to my number five. Alrighty, my number five is
This is, you know, to mirror and echo Ethan, this is one that Ethan walked in with that, you know, I had my nominee, and I'm all like, I'm the shit, and I know what's up, and I know that I picked the one that's going to win this time, and I said mine, and Ethan said, well, my nominee is Clint Eastwood. I'm like, God fucking damn it, I just lost, because I love Clint Eastwood. I love Clint Eastwood as an actor. I love Clint Eastwood as a personality. I love Clint Eastwood as a director. He's just, I like his no-nonsense bullshit attitude he has about the way he makes movies, and I also like the fact that, you know, he's got that old school way of making movies, you know, in the world of today where you get Twitter and Facebook and digital cameras on set and this and that and so on and so forth and overages and underages and stock options and dividends. And he's still able to make these really good movies, make them well, and they always come in under budget. They always come in ahead of schedule, and they do really well. And, you know, I'm completely glossing over, at this point, I'm glossing over his, you know, amazing, you know, film career as just an act. Well, just an actor. Yeah, Clint Eastwood's just an actor. But as an actor, which, you know, he turned in some of the most legendary performances of all time. I mean, you've got The Man with No Name. You've got The Outlaw Josie Wales. You got fucking Dirty Harry. Just like this amazing filmography that did nothing but, you know, build up a, you know, I've explained him before as I've always explained him as something of an approachable John Wayne, because you know, he was certainly a John Wayne of a newer generation. I mean, people look back at somebody like John Wayne as, you know, a hokey relic of the past. And, you know, when John Wayne was acting and kicking ass and taking names, he was a fucking king in Hollywood. And then now we have that with Clint Eastwood, and, you know, we didn't get this wonderful Twilight years out of John Wayne that we have with Clint Eastwood, because we had the wonderful body of his, you know, his filmography of acting, and then he turned around and gave us these wonderful, you know, sympathetic, sensitive movies that he directed that you would never think. It just wouldn't occur to you that the guy that made Every Which Way But Loose can make the movie like, you know, Million Dollar Baby or Unbreakable or, mm-hmm. you know, something like that. And I think it's wonderful, and he's just like one of those people that I would totally, if I saw him on the street, fuck no, I wouldn't go up to him because he would fucking terrify me. But I love him, and I love his career, and I'm going to go see the J. Edgar movie when it comes out because Clint Eastwood directed it. I saw Hereafter because Clint Eastwood directed it. I have not missed a movie he's directed in the theater since, I can't say. I know I've seen everyone since Unforgiven, moving forward. I mean, because I saw I've seen everything. I love Clint Eastwood. That's why I picked him for my number five. So, anything to say either of you?
Not currently, no.
No. I see how this is going down.
Yep.
Really, Clint Eastwood's fantastic, and that's why he's my number one.
See? Like,
I love every aspect of Clint Eastwood, from his acting to directing. I mean, the choices he makes, and even what was the one before The Hereafter, where he plays the crotchety old man?
Oh, Gran Torino.
Gran Torino.
One of the most underrated films in his career.
I love that fucking movie. Yeah. It is so good.
You know, it just blew me away, you know, just his directing, his acting in it. You know, everything about it. And then he sang the song.
Yep.
You know? So, just everything about this guy, I just feel he should be number one. Just around, if we're picking great actors, great people in pop culture and just in film.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's number one, in my book.
I fucking love Clint Eastwood. That's why I picked him as my number five. So, what's your number four, Ethan?
My number four is actually the nomination that you trumped with Stan Lee. My number four is Terrence Stamp.
Ah, yep. I love Terrence Stamp.
One of those actors you don't think about a lot,
no.
Really, but
you
sort of examine his body of work, you go, wow.
Terrence Stamp
really
is my number seven.
I mean, obviously people know him as General Zod on Superman, Superman 2. And he's great in that role, you know, he's iconic in that role, but the guy has a long film career, and Anyone who listened to the episode where we're talking about Terrence Stamp, talking about these nominees, know that about every other word we said was limey.
Yep. I love limey.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fucking great movie. And it sort of is the showcase of why this man is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I learned a lot about other movies that he's been in and just some fantastic stuff. He's really, of all of the nominees on here, nominees that we've talked about, he's probably one of the, probably the least known widely.
Probably.
Because people, you don't go up to someone and go, oh, do you know who Terrence Stamp is? And they might say, wasn't that General Zod?
Maybe.
But maybe. But generally they're going to go, fuck's that.
I probably said it last time, but God damn it if I'm not going to say it again. I loved him in Bowfinger. He was fucking funny
in
Bowfinger.
Well, he's got great comic timing on it, too. He plays a good straight man.
Uh-huh.
And he's great, you know. He's been in tons of stuff, and I'd love to see him do more. You know, he's a great actor, and he's just one of those guys that... definitely, I'd be terrified to run up to him, but just based on some interviews I've heard of him...
I would approach Terrence Stamp quicker than I'd approach some of these people, but yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, just the whole thing that catapulted him into awesomeness was when he talked about a guy running after him down the street in New York. When he got up to him, he just said... Terrence Stamp said something along the lines of "What are you doing, you bastard? Kneel before Zod."
Yeah,
and I was like, okay, dude doing that, just I gotta give him props. That's just awesome, so...
Yeah, no, I like Terrence Stamp. He's my number seven. I like him a hell of a lot. I think he's so much fun. I mean,
he's great.
I want to see, you know, I hear he's in a movie and I'll fucking see it. And that's also led to some fucking dogs over the years. But I don't care because I like Terrence Stamp. And even if he's in a shitty movie, he's always good in it. So, cool. I guess that brings us on to your number four, John.
And my number four was Ian McKellen.
Ah, right. So that gets us on to my number four. My number four, let's see, five, yeah, my number four is the first one I've picked that actually didn't win. He is a man, and he is the one that I would say is, in my opinion, the biggest, he's the best nominee that hasn't won the Zona Ruthaws, in my opinion, and it's fucking Morgan Freeman. I love Morgan Freeman also. I mean, I do like him a little bit. Okay, how do I say this right? I do happily put him over Clint Eastwood because of the girth of his work. Just like how much we have out of him. And, you know, we keep saying it, and we've seen some bad fucking movies out of Morgan Freeman, but he brings a dignity to it that even in bad movies it's great. I mean, I love seeing everything that he does. I actually watched an interview with him this weekend on SCTV, and the dude knows his shit, and he's such a elegant, grateful man, and... Mm-hmm. And, you know, I hate saying, I think I said this probably the first time he was nominated, but, you know, I hate saying it as the white man, but I like the fact that he refuses to play the white card.
Yeah.
Or rather, like, the race card.
The race card, right.
Because he doesn't, because he's, like, many times, like, refused to, like, march and, you know, civil rights things and stuff, and he's like, you know, if I do that, that's admitting that, you know, I'm, you know, less than what I am. He's never played a role before that he's black. He just plays a role that as he is because, I don't know, he just brings such dignity and humility to everything he does, and I love him, and I also like the relationship he always has with Clint Eastwood in these films. I mean, he was fantastic in Invictus, he was fantastic in Unforgiven, he was fantastic in, you know, all these movies, and I love Morgan Freeman, and I think it's a robbery that he never won, but yeah, I picked him as my number four, and I was happy to do so. Is he falling on either of your guys' lists?
Nope.
Morgan Freeman?
Yeah.
Morgan Freeman actually lands on number seven on my list.
Yeah.
He is one of those actors, and just sort of, you sort of hit the nail on the head, you know. I mean, it's one of those actors that you watch him, for me, it was watching him in Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
And going, this man doesn't have a fucking Oscar.
Yeah. He does now.
Yeah, but at the time,
mm-hmm.
I was like, fuck you, Academy. You give Cuba Gooding Jr. a fucking Oscar, you won't give this man one.
Yeah.
And really, he's just, for him, it was bad timing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
it was a shitty year. I mean, well, I mean, it was a fucking great year, but it was a shitty year to have to pick.
I know. And he is just one of those fantastic, just
He's just so reliable. You know?
Yeah, I mean, he does some shit movies.
Oh, yeah.
He's done some, I mean, I saw Chain Reaction. It was awful.
I'm sure it was.
And
didn't like Dreamcatchers. I know other people did, but I didn't like that.
Oh, I enjoyed it just fine. But he's a great, I mean, he's in, isn't he in Outbreak?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of those guys who's just been in fucking everything.
Yeah.
And he constantly turns in a great performance. And he's Morgan Freeman, you know? Yeah. I mean, you just go, it's Morgan Freeman, dude. Come on. So, hey, crossing our fingers. Maybe he'll win this time. Who knows?
I'm hoping so, but who knows? I mean, he's fucking great, and
so
I love
Morgan
Freeman.
So the Susan Lucci of the... we'll see if he's the Susan Lucci of the Ruthos.
I hope not, because I love fucking Morgan Freeman. I guess that brings us on to... Your number three, Ethan. No, we had your number three.
My number three was Bruce Campbell. So.
And who was your number three, John?
My number three is Jeffrey Rush.
Ah, Jeffrey Rush is my number nine.
I'd pretty much go and see any movie with Jeffrey Rush. And I felt that way ever since he played, Casanova Frankenstein.
Mystery Men?
Mystery Men.
Yeah.
I love the guy. Constantly, just always bringing it when he's acting, and any role he does, it's always fantastic. I love seeing him as Barbossa. He's the reason I go back to see the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
I did really enjoy him in Pirates 4 a lot.
You know, it's not Johnny Depp that I go see. I want to see Barbossa. I love a good villain, and I love a good character like that.
Mm-hmm. And he's wonderful in that.
He nails him. I mean, he can play a character, like in Shine, and then play Barbossa, and then play the teaching the king how to speak. You know.
Mm-hmm.
I can't call it an underrated role, but a movie that not a lot of people talk about that he was in was Elizabeth. I think he got nominated for an Oscar for that, but that was a fucking great role. I mean, he was an assassin, and he was, you know, like that consummate English gentleman. And I'm actually, fuck Ruthos. I'm surprised he hasn't been, well, I guess he's Australian, but still, Australian has knighthoods also.
Yeah.
So I'm surprised he hasn't at least been given an Australian knighthood. Cause,
mm-hmm. I believe he has.
Yeah, he maybe has. I don't know.
Yeah, I nominated him just based on his constantly putting out good stuff, and he's not afraid to do those fun roles, just that you can tell that I want to do this just because it's entertaining. And then he turns around and puts through a performance like in The King's Speech, and you're just like, fuck, this guy is good. And, Shine and his whole repertoire of stuff that he's done, his whole resume, you know, and his CV, that you go back and look and see what he's done, and he just, each time he is on screen, he gives it his all, and he just knocks it out of the park with just a great performance. And I love Jeffrey Rush. He's awesome. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What is it, Les Miserables?
Yeah,
Les Miserables.
Yeah, he was fucking great in that.
I mean, he's balls to the wall. Just like, at first you hate him, and then at the end of it you like him, and you're like, wow, that guy kicks ass.
The best I can tell is he did not get a knighthood, but goddamn, he should. I personally thought he got robbed of the Oscar for Rush, for Quills. I thought he was so fucking good in that movie, and everyone else is all like, he didn't deserve to get nominated. I thought he deserved to win that goddamn Oscar. It's such a wonderful performance, and I really like Jeffrey Rush. I think I said I picked him as my number nine or something. I don't feel like looking right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, so cool. I guess that brings us on to your number two.
Oh, my number two, and I believe Aaron would probably lynch me if he wasn't on here somewhere, but it's Christopher Lee.
Yeah, he's my number one.
He's the inspiration for this whole business, this whole thing, and really he embodies what we love about the list and what we love about actors like him. I mean, he's not afraid to go out and do the quirky roles. He's not afraid to be Dracula. He's not afraid to use that booming voice to read the Jabberwock. And yep. He's just... He's Saruman. He was in Star Wars. You know, I mean, this is one of those iconic actors of our day that people don't know that they know him,
yep.
But then they do know him. They go, that creepy motherfucker.
You have any idea how many times in my life I've had that conversation? I say something about Christopher Lee. They're like, who the fuck's that? I don't know who that is. I'm like, I can usually get it like with a movie or two, and they're all like, oh my God, yeah. Well, he was also in this, and this, and this, and this, and this. And holy shit, he's in a lot of fucking movies.
Yeah.
He is awesome! I'm like, yeah, no shit!
Yeah, exactly.
Why don't you know who he is?
And for me, the things that really not... I mean, that's all cool stuff, but for me, Christopher Lee sort of sets himself for me as one of the best just people on this list, best actors, is Three and the Four Musketeers.
Yep.
Rushmore. And he's just such a creepy son of a bitch. And
I like the comedy in that
voice.
Role.
And then, you know, I realized, you know, oh, he was in the sequel to the Escape to Witch Mountain, the Return to Witch Mountain movie when I was a kid. And like, oh, he was in, fuck, okay. And he is one of those guys that's been in freaking 9 bazillion movies. And
he was in the sequel to the Captain America TV movie where he played the guy with the age ray or whatever it was. I remember that.
And he's one of those actors who's not afraid to go off and do something weird and do something fun and just be like, yeah, you know, it's work. And he obviously likes to work. And, I mean, for God's sake, the guy was in, didn't realize it at the time, but he's in Gremlins 2, you know?
Dr. Catheter.
And he's just, you could tell on that one, he's just having a fun time. He's like, I'm here. This is not a serious, you know, I'm not doing a serious dramatic role, but I'm still going to just have some fun with it and, you know.
All it's got to do is eat one or two young children, and the publicity will be just horrendous.
Exactly, yeah. And the guy's got a great sense of humor about himself. Doesn't take himself too seriously, and it's just fun to see him.
I loved his autobiography, Tall, Dark, and Gruesome. It's actually
I didn't read that.
It's so fucking good. And it's actually been repackaged because he wrote that in 1979 or something, and he rewrote a couple of chapters in the end. And I think it came out in 2005. And I can't recall what it was repackaged as, but I read that also, and such an interesting read. And he is my number one. I'm getting a little bit out of pace here. He's my number one. I think that the Red Phone Zone. I think that I've probably said his name, you know, conservatively 50 episodes out of the 61 we've done, and I'm really being conservative here.
Sure.
He is my favorite actor. He's my favorite person on the Red Phone Zone. He's,
possibly one of your favorite people on the planet.
Probably one of my favorite people on the planet. He's also kind of like that link for me that he was like one of those first people that really got me excited about, you know, how fucking cool actors are, you know, be on the screen. Because, you know, I saw the Sherlock Holmes shit, and I saw the Dracula shit, and I saw everything that he had done, and then I heard he was going to be in Star Wars, and I was just over the fucking moon. And so I went and I looked more into his life. I'm like, oh my God, did this guy live a fucking life? I mean, he was military intelligence. He comes from Italian royalty. He's Ian Fleming's nephew. He's drinking buddies with Tolkien and neighbor to fucking Boris Karloff and good friends with just all these people that are legendary. And he's just like, yeah, whatever. And he's almost like a fly on the wall of Hollywood. I mean, he's been acting, I think it's been since 1947, I think might have been his first screen role. And he's just been, you know, he's been in some huge, he was in the Olivier's Hamlet as an extra. He was, you know, holding a spear in the background. So he's been in two movies off the top of my head that's won Best Picture. He was in that, and he was also in the third Lord of the Rings movie, which also won Best Picture. And he was given a Knight's Bachelor, so he is Sir Christopher Lee. I think it was 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He was just given the BAFTA Fellowship Award. It's the British Academy of Film and Television. It's pretty much the British Oscars. He was given a Lifetime Achievement Award last year. You can watch his acceptance speech up on YouTube. I think I might even put it on our Facebook and stuff. But I love everything about Christopher Lee, and I've seen... He's done 263 film roles, and I haven't seen 13 of them because, you know, and I've been at this for a decade trying to see all this stuff, and there's just some of these movies that you just can't
get, and I'm trying so hard. But yeah, Christopher Lee's my number one, and he was your number two, which brings us to John's number two.
And my number two is my pack pick from last time, which is Joss Whedon.
He's my number two also, actually.
I love Joss Whedon from, Buffy to Angel to one of my all-time favorite shows, Firefly, which every year I sit down and watch. This year, I think I made it twice so far. You know, I love that show. When I heard he was doing Avengers, I was like, yeah, ensemble cast. This guy's perfect for it. Even his writing that he's done in comic books. Mm-hmm. I own a t-shirt that says, Joss Whedon is my master now. Star Wars font. You know, I love this. You know, I love this guy. I think he's great. He's a perfect fit for Uthos.
Yep, I agree, and I put him as high on my list as I did because of the fact that I was not happy when he won Ruthaw's, honestly. I wasn't mad, but I thought of it as kind of like a dark horse, you know, because I thought, you know, yeah, he has a geek cred and all that, but, you know, he made Buffy and some other shit, and he's just not that cool. And then I kind of started looking at him, and I fell madly in love head over heels with Dr. Horrible. I fucking love Dr. Horrible. I think I discovered it. I'd seen it a couple of years ago, right as it came out, I saw it, and I thought it was cool, and I hadn't really thought about it. And then I rediscovered it like right after he won Ruthaw's, and I think I've watched it like four or five times since then. I have the soundtrack on my iPod, and I listen to it very often. I love Jeffrey Rush. No, I love Joss Whedon now. It was fun to watch Buffy, and I liked Buffy. I've still yet to watch Firefly. I'm going to. I have watched Dollhouse. I liked that quite a bit. I like all of his comic book work. And I don't know that and once again, I'm not going to say I was angry about it. I just didn't have much of a reaction when I heard that he was directing Avengers because I wasn't as familiar with his, how good of a director and stuff he is now. Now I'm ecstatic about it. I think he's going to do such a good job. Mm-hmm. And I hope he fucks it up. I'm serious. I mean, when I say fucks it up, I mean he just makes the movie that nobody wants to see. I want to see the movie about the Avengers trying to take down fucking Dr. Horrible. I want him, like, you know, with his freeze ray trying to take out Captain America. And I hope it pisses off the world and I would be at the theater just pumping my fucking fist because of this weird-ass Joss Whedon movie. I mean, I just think that he's so cool, and I also think that Ethan said it when he won that, you know, he could actually see Joss Whedon saying, cool, I'm Joss fucking Whedon now, and I completely get that because one of my favorite things about him is his reactions on interviews and stuff like that. I can't even think of a lot of them off the top of my head. One of them is I saw an interview with him where he was talking about the pilot episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and he's not very happy about it. He didn't like it very much, and he thought it was shit. And it was just fun to listen to him talk to these people because you know they're used to people just, you know, shooting straight, and Joss Whedon just all like they said, so are you gonna put that out on a DVD? He's like, nope. And they're all like, well, what do you mean? Like, well, that was fucking horrible. And they're all like, what do you mean? But, you know, people like to see it. It's like, well, they can fucking see it on YouTube. And it was just like, he was just going back and forth about it. And they just said, you know.
I definitely love the dude's attitude.
I love the dude's attitude. Like his press release when he made his first day of the Avengers, I guess it has something to do with Justice League and that whole thing.
Yes.
He fucking cracks me up. And I'm really excited about this guy, and I also like him because he's like one of the younger members of the Zone of Ruthaw's, and you know, so we probably have a good, you know, 30, 40 more years out of him, you know, knock on wood, and I'm excited to see where it goes. Mm-hmm. And
I think the thing I like about him is he definitely pours his heart and soul into his project, but he doesn't let it consume him, and he walks away when the time is right. He walks away, and he walks away from it. He's like, okay, I've done what I wanted to do with this, and you know, I'm ready to let other people take a crack at it, and I've got other stuff I want to work on, so I'm going to go do that. And if people love this stuff, cool. You know, thanks guys for really loving it, and he seems very sincere about that.
And if they don't, fuck you, that was cool.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, kind of like the way that he is. But he's not really that serious about that kind of stuff either. So, I mean, I really, really like Joss Whedon, and that's kind of why I fucking love Roots Oz, because I probably wouldn't give him a second thought had he not won.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I actually, well, if this guy actually won Roots Oz, I probably ought to get to know a little bit about him. And I researched his stuff, and I fell in love with this guy's work. So I'm glad he won Roots Oz, and that's why he's my number two.
Cool.
And just one last point about him is, like, he's got such a huge following, especially with all his shows. And he picks the worst channels to have them on, but as soon as, like, they get canceled, he ends up taking them and putting them on comic books and having, like, the next season.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. And they're huge sellers.
Mm-hmm.
And he just finally got, like, I think the rights back to Angel, and he's bringing it back under his wing because he lost the rights somehow. But, you know, he takes care of his property.
He does. And he's also like, one of those people that has, like, a group of people that he likes working with. I mean, you know, he doesn't always have a brand new cast, everything he's doing. Although I'm surprised we haven't seen any of, like, the, you know, the Joss Whedonites, you know, pop up in the Avengers. You know, like, fuck, I don't know, Allison Hannigan is Maria Hill or something like that. Just mm-hmm. like, and I wouldn't be too surprised if we do wind up seeing stuff like that as we get further on, and they're casting, like, some extras and stuff like that, or, you know, or maybe I'm right. Maybe Dr. Horrible is the big villain of the movie, and I would love that movie.
Hey, I'm cool with that.
I would be so cool with that. I mean, that just, you know, that would be such a bold and ballsy move that I could see somebody like Joss Whedon doing it.
Sure,
but I don't think it's gonna happen. But no, I would love it. But I don't think it's going to happen. But he's my number two, and I think that, you know, we kind of fucked ourselves, John, by, you know, throwing out our number ones when we did. So, Ethan, is Clint Eastwood your number one?
Well, fuck yeah, he is.
All right, tell us about Clint Eastwood.
It's Clint fucking Eastwood.
All
it's
right.
The man with no name. He's Dirty Harry. I mean, he's... Come on.
He's fucking Clint Eastwood.
Pretty much the reason that if anyone wants sort of a in-the-bottle one movie to watch of Clint Eastwood's, I would say sit down and watch fucking Gran Torino, and that is why he is fucking awesome. And
get off my lawn. Yeah.
But this guy
hey,
is a guy
did I tell you? I actually got to legitimately say that. There's these fucking kids out of my lawn like 2 weeks ago, and I got out of my porch and I yelled, "Get off my lawn!" And I felt awesome, but I felt like a pussy compared to Clint Eastwood.
Well, yeah, and you know, Clint Eastwood is one of those Renaissance men icons of Hollywood and of our of several generations now. You know, I mean, he started off as an actor, worked his way up to you know, a screenwriter and a director, and even now a composer. You know, I mean, the guy does everything, and he does it so well, and for that I fucking hate him, but I love him at the same time. It's like, you son of a, you're so good, fuck you. Oh, I want to see your next movie. And you know, when asked if he's going to act again, he said, I'll never say never, and if something cool comes along that I think I really want to do, I'll do it, but right now
I don't want to, but
yeah. And I mean, this is fucking Dirty Harry we're talking about here. I mean, this is like,
he owes us nothing.
Yeah, exactly. This is the guy that single-handedly has molded the what it means to be a man image for decades.
Yeah,
it's like, it's Clint fucking Eastwood. I mean, before he was even officially Clint fucking Eastwood, he was Clint fucking Eastwood.
Yeah,
and you know, you go back, you watch those the spaghetti westerns that he came out with, and you're
aren't
like,
good?
Dude, this dude's a badass. Motherfucker, and then, you know, you turn around and you watch him in Dirty Harry and go, this dude's a real bad motherfucker, and now over here he's playing with a monkey, and
he's a bad motherfucker playing with a monkey.
And I still stand by the statement that that Clint Eastwood could be a paraplegic in a freaking iron lung, and he would still scare the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Just look at me, and I would piss my pants and run away because he's Clint fucking Eastwood.
Mm-hmm.
You bet your ass I would not want to run go up to him on the street because I would be afraid he'd just accidentally eviscerate me with his eyes.
What was that movie that he made? It might have been late 80s, early 90s, mid 90s. He was an FBI agent with, Kevin Costner was the bad guy. What was that movie called?
Perfect World?
Yeah, Perfect World.
Yeah. President? It was right after that came out.
God, that was a good movie, though. I just saw that maybe a year ago, and I had never heard of that movie, and I loved that movie.
Didn't he direct that one?
Yeah. But it's such a good movie, though. I love this dude's filmography, though. I mean, he's...
I love... It's fucking Eastwood.
Yeah.
What else, what more can I have... can you say? It's Clint fucking Eastwood.
What am I? You know, it's something I might have said last time, but, you know, he might actually have something, you know, higher than Clint fucking Eastwood, and he had it when we were children.
Yes.
And that was, well, fuck, he had it when we were sperm. You know, like before sperm.
Yes.
Before, you know, we were Randy Thoughts on our parents' face. But, you know, what I'm specifically talking about is when, in Back to the Future Part 3, when Marty McFly has to think up a cowboy name off the top of his head, he's like, I'm Clint Eastwood. And, you know, that's exactly it, as he, you know, personifies, you know, what it is to be like that kick-ass Western badass. And I love Clint Eastwood, and I chose him as my number five, but goddamn, is this list not hard to make, because I have to put Christopher Lee as my number one. I'm me, and you know, I felt the need to give Joss Whedon a really high spot on this list.
And I think I'm going to add a page to the site of the nominees, of the previous nominees.
Because
I honestly had forgotten a couple of them and was like, shit.
I had to do it off the top of my head, and
I think
I got them all. So, you know,
for me.
I mean, do you have anything else to add about Clint Eastwood? Because he was your number one also, John.
I mean, I said what I had to say when you talked about number five, you know.
That's just like me fucking up everyone's list early. That's what I do. But
it's hard because it's a list of all people that we admire and respect.
That we're all passionate about. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I can't say that I admire or respect Christopher Lee more than Clint Eastwood or so on or so forth. But, you know, goddamn, do we have to put these down in some kind of order?
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, Christopher Lee is my number one. I think I talked about him enough on Ethan's number two. But, yeah, if you've known me for more than a day or so, you know that I love Christopher Lee, and he's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
So, I guess that's going to bring it into our top six. Do you guys have any closing thoughts on our top six here?
No. I think we pretty much hit all the the good points on it.
Do you want to write it down from your number 10?
Sure. My number 10 was Kurt Russell. Number 9, Liam Neeson. Number 8, Gary Oldman. Number 7, Morgan Freeman. Number 6, Ian McKellen. Number 5, Stan the Man Lee. Number 4, Terrence Stamp. Number 3, Bruce Campbell. Number 2, Christopher Lee. And number 1, Clint Eastwood.
John, did you do this?
Yep.
All right, let's hear it.
10, Kurt Russell. 9, Sean Connery. 8, Gary Oldman. 7, Liam Neeson. 6, Bruce Campbell. 5, John Goodman. 4, Ian McKellen. 3, Jeffrey Rush. 2, Joss Whedon. And 1, Clint Eastwood.
Yeah. And out of all those, we have Christopher Lee. Christopher fucking Lee. Bruce fucking Campbell. Clint fucking Eastwood. Stan the fucking man Lee. Liam fucking Neeson. Kurt fucking Russell. Joss fucking Whedon. And we are going to be adding another person after this. And we are back. This is what it's all about, folks. We are going to be naming the newest member of the Zone of Ruthaws. And what I'm going to be doing here is, I don't know who the winner is. Ethan doesn't know who the winner is. Nobody knows who the winner is. I'm doing it right now. I'm going to open it up right now. And, okay, give me a moment. Okay, and the suspense is killing us. We had a slightly larger turnout than last time. And, should I just go from bottom to top or just throw it out there or what?
Well, you know.
Okay,
who were the nominees?
Well, our nominees, what I'm gonna do is, with 10% of the vote, we have, none other than Gary Oldman is the fourth place winner, because we're all winners when it comes to this.
That's true.
When we get 15% of the vote with our number two winner, well, number whatever, 15% of the vote is Ian McKellen. Sir Ian McKellen is the one for this time around. And so we get down to our final two, and this is when it gets kind of tricky, because it was only a matter of a few votes that brings it down to this, but the person with 30% of the vote, with just not quite squeaking it by was none other than Sigourney Weaver. So with 45% of the vote, almost half of our votes, we have none other than Morgan fucking Freeman. Finally!
Finally a Morgan fucking Freeman.
Man, this
no,
guy...
No Clint Eastwood to take away his thunder this
yeah,
time.
Yeah, goddammit, because he already won.
That's true.
Yeah, we got Morgan fucking Freeman. I mean, for a decade we say this guy didn't have an Oscar.
And the Ruth Oz goes to Morgan fucking Freeman.
Ruth
there
Oz
go.
Goes to Morgan fucking Freeman. I'm happy. I love Morgan Freeman. Yeah. That's why I nominated him twice. So that means I don't get a vote next time. God damn it. I mean, it means I don't get a choose next time. I don't think we actually talked about it on the air, but...
Then if your guy wins, you don't choose.
Yeah,
okay.
So next time around, I don't get to pick a Ruth Oz member, which sucks because I've done it every single time so far, but it's just a way to get an even number four. Thoughts on this, Ethan or John?
I think it sounds great. I love Morgan fucking Freeman,
Freeman.
It's great to see him get some recognition for how fucking awesome he is. And while my nominee ended dead last, that's all good. Morgan fucking if you're going to lose to anybody, if it's Morgan fucking Freeman... You know what? I can stand by that.
Yeah. I mean, I love Morgan Freeman. So I think we're going to tweet this out. Any reaction, John?
You know, I was happy with all the nominees. I thought they're all great. It was hard for me to vote. And I'm really surprised Gary Oldman did not that poorly, but got the least amount of votes, and Sigourney Weaver got so many.
If I were a betting man, I would have bet for Sigourney Weaver winning. Because everybody I've talked to, they're all like, yeah, I got to go with Sigourney Weaver. And I'm like, don't fucking tell me, but everyone I've talked to says that. We had somebody on the show that voted on air and said who they voted for, and it was Sigourney Weaver. And I had a friend of mine trying to get some people to vote. But, yeah, so...
I'm going to go ahead and close this poll for next time, so...
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Alrighty, cool. Well.
So, that's been our Zone of Ruth Oz episode. So now, ladies and gentlemen, the Ruth Oz goes to Mr. Morgan fucking Freeman. I think that's pretty awesome. Now, what do we have going on next week, Ethan?
I don't know. What do we have going on next week, Aaron?
Well, then you fucking tweet. Wow. Next week, we are going to have, if you follow the show at all, and you go on iTunes or anything like that, and you get our show, you'll see that just last week I finally had my interview with Edward Douglas go live, where we talked about the Green Lantern film, as well as just film criticism in general. So I've talked to him, and he wants to come on and talk some movies, and this time around, it's actually one of the shows I always want to talk any kind of movies, but it's one of the ones that I was looking forward to ever since I knew we were going to do this. We're talking comic book movies, which I'm actually surprised has taken us nearly the whole goddamn season, you know, with the people that we know, with our friends coming on the show that took us this long to do a comic book movie one. But that's going to be interesting because I know me personally, I haven't worked out my list yet. But I'm going to make mine try to make it without going into the superhero genre. I don't know if I'm going to be able to, but you know, there's some really good really good movies out there that are based off of comic books that nobody knows about. Yeah. So next week we have Edward Douglas. He's a film critic, film reviewer for for ComingSoon.net and SuperheroHype.com. He's got a page on Rotten Tomatoes. He knows what he's talking about, and he knows some movies. So that should be fun because I've enjoyed talking with Edward when we did the show, and I tweet with him back and forth. And I think he's a cool guy, and it'll be fun to have him on the show. So that should rock. Other than that... something that I'm going to need to really get myself into the habit of is, head on over to iTunes, rate and review us.
Mm-hmm.
While you're there, go ahead and pop on over to Red Phones. Jesus God. Bagged and Boardcast page as well.
Mm-hmm.
Subscribe, rate and review them as well. And like I said, we're on...
Because if you don't, they will eat your children.
Yeah, especially John. He likes eating children.
Mm-hmm.
I am always ravenous.
Mm-hmm.
Tasty babies.
Tasty babies. But yeah, rate and review them. I know that. Did you guys throw together a Google Plus page yet?
No, I don't think so.
No? Well,
I'm on it, so hopefully soon.
Yep. But I know that just like us, they are on all of the
social networking sites. They're on Facebook. They're on Twitter. Baggedandboard.com. They're all over the internet, just like us. So do you have anything, any final closing thoughts, John?
I'm just always glad to be on the show with you guys, and thank you for always having me on.
Yeah, well, it's always fun to have you on here. It's it's just kind of cool that it was Bagged and Boardcast that got me into wanting to do podcasting, and now I'm having Bagged and Boardcast on my podcast all the time, and I think that's cool. So, yeah, this has been issue number 61, Zone of Ruthaw's episode, so fucking happy. Morgan fucking Freeman is finally a member of the Zone of Ruthaw's. But yeah, tune in next week when we are going to be talking comic book movies with Edward Douglas.
Fantastic.
And yeah, keep an eye out on our Twitter and our Facebook and stuff like that as we start throwing up new stuff about Ruthaw's. I do have a goal that within the next 10 episodes, issues, whatever we want to call them, that things are going to change. That, well, they're going to change for the better. I do want to work out some kind of banner something and actually try to start getting word to these people that they kick that much ass that mm-hmm. they get a...
Well, I found Morgan Freeman's Twitter account.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, he'll be like, what the fuck is that? Cease and desist! Cease and desist! Yeah, but that'll be cool. I do think that if we did this right, we could get, you know, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of votes, especially for, like, people, like, if we went into, like, a Joss Whedon thing and we, you know, said something, we probably would have got lots of people to vote for that. So, I think it's pretty cool, though. But in 10 issues, we're going to be, well... in 10 issues, we will be naming off the newest member of the Zone of Ruthaw's, but until then, your newest member is Morgan fucking Freeman.